hands to her face and cup her cheeks. Let down your hair for me. She reaches up and unclips those red strands. They spill down her back in a soft tangle, and I thread a hand through them, my other hand gripping her hip as she moves on me. When I sense her getting closer, I grasp her harder, guiding her up and down, controlling her moves, watching her face contort in exquisite pleasure. Her back arches, bowing into me, and then she cries out, a wild, long, intense moan that goes on forever. Grabbing her hair hard and twisting it in my fist, I fuck her through her climax, burying myself in her until my whole body quakes as I come undone too. Her arms grip me, her lips kiss my face, her hands hold me tight, and I don't want this to stop. I don't want it to end. I want Harper to want me this same wild and crazy way, like she can't get enough of me, because, hell, it's become that way for me. It just has. Chapter 29. Gino holds a glass of champagne high and beams to the creator of the most popular show on late night TV. A sea of shiny, sparkly network executives, agents, advertisers, and other glitterati in the business of showbiz clap and join in the hear-hears. I give a quick wave to the crowd. Gino grabs my arm and holds it up like he's a coach and I'm his prize fighter in the ring. This man is going places, Gino adds. His show is going to be the biggest hit on all of TV soon. Just you wait. More cheers come from the crowd at this posh, upscale establishment on the Upper West Side. Just keep the viewers coming, I say with a smile, since Gino eats up those jokes like candy. He fake punches me, and then downs his champagne. He pulls me away from the crowd to the edge of the oak-paneled bar. Now listen, Hammer. I'm seeing Tyler on Monday. It'll all come together then. Good news is headed your way, he says, with a glint to his eyes. Whenever it happens is all good, I say, and cast my eyes to Harper, waiting for me on a red velvet lounge at the end of the joint, her drink on a low dark wood table. She flashes a small smile in my direction, a little curve of her lips that's both sweet and sexy, and it feels entirely like a private grin just for me. I'm trying to savor these moments with her, knowing they'll run out of steam in about 48 hours. Fuck. I want to slow down time. I want to stretch the next 2 days and 3 nights into a year. Gino follows my eyes. Oh. He says it in a salacious tone. As he licks his lips. You've got your friend with you again. I just nod. There's nothing I need to say to Gino about Harper. He shakes his head in appreciation. She is a sight for sore eyes. He lowers his voice and nudges me. Is it true what they say about redheads? Oh no, he didn't. I jerk my head toward him. What the? He sighs longingly. What I wouldn't give for a piece. My jaw clenches, and I meet his gaze straight on. With all due respect, you really need to stop saying that shit every time I'm with her. He raises his eyebrow. Excuse me? I don't care if this pisses him off. I don't care if he won't re-up my show when Tyler sees him on Monday. I'm tired of his games, his dude with an earring and a Corvette insecurities, and his demeaning attitude. It's rude. Have a little respect for women. He adjusts his shoulders and mutters, I meant no disrespect. Good, I say, though I don't believe him. Now, if you'll excuse me. I walk away, join Harper, and drape an arm over her shoulder. Not that Gino would have a chance with her even in the zombie apocalypse if he were one of the last men standing. But she's with me tonight, and she'll never be with him, and let him chew on that pill of bitterness as I get to touch her. Hey, handsome, Harper says softly, and her greeting surprises the hell out of me. She's not a hey, handsome kind of girl, but I enjoy the new term of endearment, especially since it's like a direct shot of that crazy, fluttering feeling in my chest. You look kind of insanely hot out there. You think so? I ask, eating up her compliments, ready and willing for her to pile on more. She nods, and her eyes draw up my body, lingering on my chest and arms. She runs her hand over my biceps, and all the time I've ever spent lifting weights pays off in the way she touches me. I couldn't take my eyes off you, and your hair, and your scruff, and your arms. I was admiring the whole package, she says, letting that last word roll off her tongue, and it's like she casts a spell on my dick. She did the hard-on trick once again. You can admire my package with your tongue later, Princess Sex in Your Eyes, I whisper, as I lean in close, loving her filthy innuendos. She feigns surprise, covering her mouth with her fingers. Oh, my. Was it that obvious I was objectifying you? No. What'll be obvious is how much I like your objectification when I stand up in a few minutes to get you out of here. I wave a hand in the air. We need to get rid of this tent in my pants. Talk about pencils in your nose. I smack my forehead. Shit, that turns me on too, now that I've seen you do it naked. Another smack. Naked. I said naked. This isn't helping the have you got a banana in your pocket situation that you caused, Harper? She holds up her finger excitedly. I know. Mashed bananas. Ouch. You're the erection devil. Thank you for that awful image. Happy to help, she says, as my ridiculously pregnant publicist waddles over to us, her hand pressed to her lower back for support. I rise and help Serena sit, even as she waves me off. Isn't it time you actually took your maternity leave? I ask. Oof, she says, parking herself on the velvet lounge. When do you do? Harper asks, concern etched in her eyes, as Serena huffs and holds up a hand. She winces, grits her teeth, and seems to be counting. A year ago, it feels like, she says, her lips forming an O as she takes a deep breath. Can I get you a water? Do you need anything? Harper asks. Just for these contractions to stop. My eyes widen. Contractions. That's just one of those words that means business. Serena, are you serious? She laughs. I wish. I've been having Braxton Hicks for 5 days now. I scratch my head. Courtesy to speak English, please. She pushes her curly black hair away from her face and gives me a side-eye glance. You don't know what that is? Serena, I'm a 29-year-old single guy in the city. I have no clue. Why don't you enlighten me? False contractions, Harper mouths. They're evil, Serena says with a hiss. They're basically trick contractions. They make you think you're going to finally exorcise the demon from your belly, but they're just a constant false alarm. Another one must come because she winces and grabs the table. Serena, Harper says gently, I think we need to get you out of here. Nah, I'm fine. You're a workaholic, I say gently. It's not going to be good for the baby. Let's get you home. From one workaholic to another, I'm going to be fine. It's good for me to be here. Gives me something to do other than count the seconds. She breathes out hard. But you know what? I think I need to pee again. Serena pushes up from the lounge, holding on to the table. I do too. Harper stands and accompanies the about-to-burst publicist to the ladies' room. I check my watch. Seems I've served my time at Gino's fete. I send Harper a text that I'll be waiting outside for her, and I make my great escape to the cool autumn air of Amsterdam Avenue. I check my phone. No reply. I scroll through messages and send a quick note to Tyler, letting him know about tonight's less-than-Kodak moment with Gino. I glance at the door. Still no Harper. I click on Facebook and absently scan my wall. 30 seconds later, Harper's voice lands in my ears. They're so fast! Look, it's already here! Harper's arm is wrapped tightly around Serena, and she motions wildly for me to follow them. Harper escorts Serena to a black SUV idling at the curb. I run the few feet to catch up. What's going on? Her water broke, Harper says, her tone even and calm. I ordered an Uber. It's here already. That's fast, I say, dazed, and I'm not sure if I'm talking about the car service, Harper's Uber ordering skills, or Serena's labor. I open the door to the car. Harper follows Serena, sitting in the middle and holding her hand. I join them. I've never dealt with women in labor, and maybe it's easy for anyone who has, but I'm really glad Harper is here, shepherding this situation, because I haven't a clue what to do. Mount Sinai, Roosevelt? Harper says to the driver, even though he already has the info from the app. And step on it? She squeezes Serena's hand and says, I've always wanted to say that. Serena laughs lightly, then shoves her phone at me. Call Jared. Tell him to meet me at the hospital, stat. That I can do. I dial her husband's number, and he answers immediately. Hey, sweetie, everything okay? I'm almost done with this contract. Hey, Jared, it's Nick Hammer, I say, and dive right into the details. Serena went into labor at the party. She's on her way to the hospital, and I'm taking her there with my friend, Harper. I hear the squeak of a chair and papers being shoved aside. Thank you, man. I'll be there in 10 minutes. I hang up and turn to the two women in the car, in awe of how calm both of them are, while my mind is topsy-turvy. Kids are Greek to me. I wouldn't know the first thing about holding a baby, let alone playing the role of the helpful friend as labor sets in. But Harper slides into that position seamlessly, clasping Serena's hand and guiding her through her breathing. A few blocks later, as the car swings into the right lane, Serena snaps her gaze to me. I'm not naming the baby Uber if he's born in the car. I flash her a grin. Is taxi an option? Serena smiles, and soon we pull up to the front doors of the hospital entrance on 10th Avenue, help her out of the car, and take her into the emergency room. Her husband rushes in to greet her. He arrived fast. Jared is tall and sturdy, with thick black hair and glasses too. I've met him a few times since he's in the business. Thank you so much, he says, his eyes wide and eager, a touch of nerves in them too, understandably. She's the one to thank, I say, pointing at the woman by my side. Harper got her here. Harper waves off the compliment. Good luck with the baby. I'm so excited for the two of you. We walk away, and I'm honestly a little stunned by that change in tonight's lineup. I scratch my jaw, trying to come up with something pithy to say. But words fail me. Not Harper, though. Isn't it amazing that in a little while, maybe a few hours, maybe more, their lives are going to change massively, and they'll have a baby in their arms, she says, with a glossy look in her eyes. Oh, no. Is she one of those girls? I love kids, she adds sweetly. And yep, there's the answer. Do you have baby fever? The question comes out cautiously. She rolls her eyes. Yeah, I want to be a 26-year-old single mom in New York City. But seriously, do you want to have kids? Not tonight, Nick. But someday? She holds her arm far out in front of her, pointing. Someday, in the future, when the time is right, yes, I do. I like kids. What about you? I shrug my shoulders. I have no idea. I've literally never thought about it. She stops walking, parks her hands on her hips, and shoots me a sharp stare. Bullshit. What? I don't believe you've literally never thought about it. Never is a big word, and literally is too. You mean the idea of kids has never once crashed into your mind? She asks, tapping my head. No, it hasn't. I've been pretty focused on work and my job and the show. That's what my life has been since I graduated college, and I love it. I don't sit around and ponder kids. She nods and takes a deep breath.
Right, of course.
You say that like it's a bad thing. She shakes her head and flashes a smile.
No, it's not bad. Your work is your passion. I get it. That makes sense. I feel the same.
But my work involves kids, so I guess it's natural that I'd think about it more. Doesn't mean I want to get knocked up any time soon, though. She holds up a finger for emphasis. However, I will most definitely want to snuggle that baby when Serena comes home with it. Snuggling babies. Such a foreign notion to me. But this whole past hour has occurred on another planet, Babylandia, and it's not one I'm terribly keen to visit again soon. Even so, I'm still in awe of how swiftly she handled the situation. How did you know what to do with her? She laughs.
It's not that hard. Oh, yes, it is, I say, nodding vigorously as we wander uptown. I didn't even know what Braxton Hicks were. I can't imagine what happened when her water broke in the ladies' room. Please don't tell me what that was like. I hold up a hand like a stop sign. I'm just glad you were there.
Me too, for her sake. And, to answer your question, my friend Abby took a CPR and first aid class when she started nannying a few years ago, and she asked me to go with her. I figured it couldn't hurt, since I never know in my job if someone will ever get hurt or sick. And that's one of the things they touched on, what to do if someone goes into labor.
And you had the car right away, too, I add. She gives a one-shouldered shrug and a smile.
As for my amazing Uber-ordering skills, she says, and wiggles her fingers, all I can say is I've got some magic hands. They're quite fast.
I kiss her palm, then each knuckle. I'm quite fond of these hands, I say, and for the first time I'm not playing with double meanings, especially when I slide my fingers through hers. I like holding your hand.
I love it too.
Then her eyes light up with an I've got an idea twinkle.
Hey, want to go get a gift for Uber?
I frown in confusion. She nudges my side.
The baby, silly. We can stop at an open book. It's on the way to your house.
Let's do it. A little while later, we walk through the front door of the bookstore, and I do a double take. Holy fuck. I blink. Blink again. Long, black hair. Haunting silver-gray eyes. Carved cheekbones. 10, maybe 15 years on me. She's as gorgeous as the day I met her. I'm not seeing things. There, in the romance section, running her fire engine red nails along the spines, is Jay Cameron.
Chapter 30. From above the shelves, she catches my eye. A, what a nice surprise to see you, grin spreads on her face, and Jay Cameron emerges from behind the display, dressed in tight jeans, black heels, and a clingy red top.
Nick, she says, her voice smoky and befitting her profession. She drops a kiss on my cheek. I tense, hoping her touchy-feely ways don't tick off Harper.
Hey, Jillian, how are you? I ask, and the words come out dry and scratchy as I use her name, the one I always called her by. I glance at Harper. Her face is impassive, revealing nothing.
I'm fabulous. I'm back from Italy. My new book just released, and I have a signing here tomorrow. I always like to get the lay of the land beforehand.
She turns to Harper and extends a hand.
I'm Jillian, or Jay Cameron. So lovely to meet you.
I'm jealous of your hair, she says, and gestures to Harper's red locks.
I'm Harper. I'm jealous of your fictional characters. They have the best nights ever, she says with a wink, and I nearly stumble. Holy hell. The tension in me ratchets up because I do not want the conversation going in a direction where they casually tango near bedroom exploits of her imaginary characters.
They do have quite a good time, don't they?
Jillian flashes another smile.
What brings you both to an open book tonight?
Harper helped deliver a baby, I blurt out, and I clasp her hand as if I'm proud of her. Then I realize I sound like Harper around Simon. My heart rate quickens because this is too weird to be in the same 5-foot radius as my ex-lover and my current lover. Harper knows all these things I've done with Jillian because of her book, and all I want to do is reassure Harper that it meant nothing, and no one can even hold a candle to her.
How exciting!
Harper downplays her role again.
All I did was order an Uber when her water broke in the ladies' room.
I shake my head, squeezing her hand. No, she was amazing. She made sure that my coworker Serena felt calm on the way to the hospital and that everything was going to be fine, I say, and cast my gaze to Harper, trying to meet her eyes, to read her thoughts, to figure out how she feels right now, if she's jealous or annoyed or embarrassed. I want to tell her I don't think about other women. I don't fantasize about them, and she's the only one I've wanted in any way, shape, or form for months. Harper points to the back of the store.
I need to run to the ladies' room. Never got to use it at the party.
she darts away. And now it's just Jillian and me in the new release section, a slice of my past sliding into my present.
You look amazing, she says, and runs her hand briefly down my shoulder. Her touch does nothing for me. It's only friendly.
So do you, I say politely. She raises an eyebrow and then pushes a strand of my hair off my forehead.
Somebody's in love.
You're in love? That's great, I say, flashing a smile, because I'm happy for her. Smiling, she shakes her head, then corrects me.
No, you are.
I frown. Make a huge no gesture with my hands. That's ridiculous.
No, it's not. I can tell these things.
Because you're a writer? You never looked at me the way you look at her. I barely process what she's saying. It's not computing. It's too strange to hear my ex psychoanalyze me, so I turn it around. You didn't want that. That wasn't what we were about.
I know, but perhaps she wants it.
Jillian tips her forehead toward the restroom. I frown in confusion, trying to make sense of her comment.
Why do you say that? Because I see it, in the two of you.
I roll my eyes, trying to show how much I want to brush off her suggestion. Whatever you say. But the truth is, I don't want to dismiss the idea at all. She sounds wise and insightful, especially when she adds,
Think about it, sweetie. There's something there.
I latch on to her comments, wondering now if she's on to something. If she's figured out the puzzle of Harper in a way I haven't.
It can't be true, right?
She can't possibly be accurate in her observation. I should drop this conversation. Let it go, poof, like a disappearing rabbit. But the denial I practiced a few seconds ago vanishes, and now the idea takes hold, digging roots into some part of my heart that barely gets used.
Do you really think so?
My voice rises at the end. Jillian parts her lips to respond, then shuts them a few seconds later as Harper returns to my side.
I should go get my beauty sleep before the signing. It was lovely meeting you,
Jillian says to Harper, then shifts her attention to me.
And to answer your question, yes, I really do think so.
She takes a beat, then adds,
I do think it will be a great turnout tomorrow, and I can't wait.
She spins efficiently on her heel, having answered my question about Harper and ensured, too, that Harper didn't know we were talking about her. After Jillian leaves, Harper clears her throat.
So, I was thinking about getting Uber, I Love You to the Moon and back. It's a great book.
Can we add in a copy of Harry Potter, too, for when Uber is older?
That sounds perfect.
The weirdest thing is, buying a gift for a baby with her isn't weird at all. It feels right, in its own way.
It's nice you're friends with someone you used to go out with,
Harper says, almost wistfully. When we return to my place, the door clicking shut. I shrug. Yeah, it is, though I wouldn't say we're friends.
But you got along so well at the bookstore, she points out.
It was amicable. We never had deep feelings for each other. I lean against the kitchen counter and toss my jacket on a stool, then set down the bag with the gift for Serena's baby. Harper sheds her coat. Did it bother you to run into her? I ask, reaching for her hand. She lets me hold it. I couldn't tell at the bookstore, and I was hoping you weren't upset. She juts up a shoulder.
I wasn't upset, but it was a little odd, to be honest.
Her voice drops a notch.
Mostly because I feel like I can't compare.
I shake my head and pull her close, my heart lurching toward her. Stop. There's no comparison.
But you chose to be with her. You're just doing this with me because I asked.
My shoulders sink.
I can't believe you'd think that.
This is not an obligation. It's the best time I've had in ages.
Best time.
Okay, maybe that wasn't the most romantic word choice, but I don't really know what this conversation is about or how to properly reassure her that she's amazing.
I've had a good time too, she says softly.
I tilt my head, try to study her to figure out what's going on in her head, but even more so, what's in her heart, and if it's even remotely close to matching what's in mine. I can't tell, and I desperately want to know, because if there's a chance she feels the same, I should say something. I should let her know I don't want this time with her to end. What's going on, Harper? You seem pensive, I say, and brush a strand of hair from her cheek. She nibbles on her lip, looks away, then turns back to me, and the words spill out, piling on top of each other like clowns spilling out of a car. I keep wondering, do you think we'll be like that? What? I ask, as my heart speeds up. She's never spoken that quickly with me. She's never used her awkward language, and it gives me this wild burst of hope. Maybe Jillian is right. Holy shit, I hope Jillian is right. Harper slows, takes a breath. Will we stay friends? The burst of hope dies a cruel, painful death. All the air leaks out of me, and I'm utterly deflated, even though I knew this was coming. I've known from the start. Her actions have always told me I'm not a guy she wants to date. But I can't let on how hard this hits. Of course, I say with a big smile, trying to mask the disappointment rooting in my chest. Because as tough as it will be to not be intimate with her, losing her friendship will be much worse. Maybe best time wasn't such a bad description after all. Harper and I do have an amazing time together, and I can't imagine not having her in my life. These last few weeks have been the most fun, vibrant, and wonderful time I've had with anyone. If she were gone entirely in the wake of some breakup or weird romantic misunderstanding, that fate would be worse. That's what you want, right? She nods. I do want to stay friends. You and Jillian get along, and I want that to be us. I want to go to your signings and save you in line from women with magic bullets in their pockets and dangerous biker husbands. I want to get you detergent to clean the hot chocolate I spill on you. And if you need me at a bowling tournament to throw a few frames, I want to be the one tossing the gutter balls, she says quickly, racing through each sentence, barely breathing. I want to see you at dinner with Spencer and Charlotte, or just walking dogs in the park with your brother, or if you ever get a new shower, I want to help you pick it out. God, her words kill me and lift me up. They make me feel so good and so fucking awful at the same time. Because it's clear what she's saying. When this ends. Because it will end. It has to. It has a beginning, and it will have an end, like all the others who have come and gone. Even though I will miss this woman in a way I never have anyone else. And I wish that I could tell her. I want to be so much more than her wingman and buddy. But if I tell her that, will I risk losing her as a friend too? There's no answer key for me to follow on this count. I can read her cues in bed, but I haven't the foggiest idea what would happen if I told her I didn't want to be her teacher. I want to be her guy. I choose the path I can see clearly. Harper, you better always be in my life. It's just brighter and more fun with you in it. And if you need me to... I trail off because what have I actually done for her? Offered dating advice? Mocked a dude who used emoticons? Or just introduced her to multiple orgasms? Is that the mark I've left? If you need anything, I'm your man. She smiles faintly, the kind of smile that doesn't reach her eyes. Will you take me to the train station tomorrow, after Hayden's party that I'm doing? She says, and I force myself to blot out the reminder of Hayden's father, Simon. I have to go to Connecticut in the afternoon, remember? I nod. She told me she had some parties there this weekend for a few of the Manhattan moms she's worked for, who have since moved to the suburbs, and asked me to feed Fido on Sunday. I don't even know why she wants me to go with her to Grand Central, but I'll go. Of course. My chest is hollow. Taking her to the train station feels so inadequate for all that I'm learning I want with her. But I can't hang my hat on something a romance writer thinks. Jillian wants to believe in true love. She makes a living out of buying into storylines about how the little sister falls for her brother's best friend and how lessons in sex turn into happily ever after. but this is real life. Real life is full of asshole bosses and unrequitedness and guys who are lucky enough to have everything they've ever wanted when it comes to work and life and art, but who would be fools to think they get to have it all in love, too. I'm not bitter. I'm not angry. I'm just realistic. Harper Holiday has always been a moment in time, and I've never been a love-struck fool. I'm a serial monogamist, and this series of nights with her is chugging to its inevitable end. I reach for her shirt, tug her close, and bring her body flush to mine. Harper, I breathe. You have to know how much I've loved everything with you.
Me too, Nick. Me too.
She plays with my hair, then says, Do you want to tie me to the fridge? I manage a small laugh. No, I want something else.
What do you want?
She asks, her eyes looking so vulnerable. I want to have you, as many more times as I possibly can. She presses her forehead to mine, her lips brushing my lips as she whispers, Have me. That begins another night of bliss with her, even though I can't help but hear the ticking of the clock as we wind down. Chapter 31. I pace up and down 62nd Street. I drag my hand through my hair. I stare at my phone again. I am not jealous that she's with Simon. I am not annoyed. I check my texts again. Running late. I helped them clean up and then had to grab a coffee after the party. I will my teeth to unclench. I let go of the jealousy roiling inside me. Harper is a friend, and I won't lose her as a friend. I think of my dad and his yoga mantras, his calm demeanor. The guy is unruffled, and he takes everything in stride. Yep, that's me. Life is good, I'm a lucky bastard, and I'm as cool as Saturn's surface with the fact that Harper is getting a coffee with Simon before I take her to Grand Central Station, for God knows what reason. Besides, I've got my own coffee, so there. When Harper rounds the corner, clutching a paper cup, the Hemsworth dad by her side, his hand wrapped into his daughter's smaller one, I take a deep, fueling breath. Because you know what? He's better for her than I am. She likes kids. She wants kids. She's really good with them. I don't even know what a Braxton Hicks contraction was. If I'm going to be her friend, I have to let this envy go. They stride up to me, and I paste on my biggest, brightest, happiest, shit-eating, nothing is fucking wrong with me smile. Hey, Harper, how are you? I turn to Thor and say hello. How's it going, man? Was the party good? Hayden goes first. It was the best ever. Anna the Amazing did the coolest tricks. She was incredible, Simon says, chiming in. And nope, I totally don't want to put chicken bouillon in the showerhead in his bathroom. Nope, I don't want to swap out his deodorant for cream cheese. Because really, I haven't done that shit since I was 16 and pranking Wyatt. I'm a grown man, and I don't need to beat my chest or stoop to that level. Besides, I can be Harper's friend, even if she dates this dude and wears her butterfly panties for him. Smoke billows out my eyes as that image evilly taunts me. I crush the coffee cup in my hand, and the remnants of my drink squirt all over the sidewalk. Oops. Hemsworth, 1. Nick, 0. Everything okay? Harper asks as I toss the cardboard cup in the trash can, then try to wipe the drink from my hands. I laugh it off. Shouldn't have upped the weights at the gym this week. Didn't realize how strong my forearms were getting. My daddy is strong too, Hayden says and grabs Simon's arm and holds it up. Yeah, he's a candidate for arm porn too. Curses. He's a superstar. That's what she calls me, Simon says in an aw shucks manner. And it is not fair that this guy looks like a movie star and is humble too. It's like finding out your favorite athlete gives all his money to animal charities. It's adorable, I say. And I'm sure no one can hear the acid in my voice. I'm masking it so well. Besides, Harper won't even notice. She's probably blushing and unable to speak around the man she really wants. Simon, she says, turning to him.
Thank you for the coffee. And I know Abby is going to be so excited to hear from you. She finishes with her current family next week, and she's one of the best nannies, so she'll be in demand. You need to snap her up.
Harper snaps her fingers and laughs. Simon laughs, too. I'm calling her as we speak. What the hell did I just witness? Harper didn't babble. She didn't speak in tongues. She didn't freak out.
Well, not technically as we speak, she says, making a joke.
You got me on that one.
Okay, I need to run.
She bends to Hayden and pretends to pull a pack of mini Skittles from her ear.
Special gift from Anna the Amazing for the birthday girl.
Hayden's eyes widen and she clutches the candy.
I love Skittles. They're my favorite.
I know, she says, then waves goodbye to her. She shifts her gaze to her crush.
Fingers crossed that it'll all work out.
He twists his index and middle finger together. See you later, Harper. He extends a hand to me. Good to see you again, Nick. Congrats on your show doing so well. Harper mentioned it to me. She's proud of you.
Thanks, I say as Simon walks away with his daughter, and I cock my head, trying to figure out this strange creature in front of me with red hair, wearing Harper's clothes.
Her massive bag is on her shoulder, so I'm pretty sure she's not an imposter, but I have no clue how she pulled off that trick of acting normal. Unless she's no longer into him. Which would be the best news ever. Except she only wants to be friends with me. But wait, let's think about that. Let's add up all the facts. Last night at my house, when she was bent over the couch, she was a lot more than friendly. When she rode me into her third climax of the quartet I gave her, she was much more than cordial. As she cried out, "Oh, Nick, no one makes me feel like you do," that sounded a touch warmer than simple fondness. And it felt like a lot more than lessons in seduction. It felt like much more than mind-blowing sex. It felt like we were falling for each other. Maybe I should take another swing.
Should we hail a cab? I ask, thrusting a hand in the air. Sometimes they come faster here than Uber.
Good idea, especially since everything ran late after the party.
An image flashes before my eyes of her working the kids' party.
Where's your cape? She pats the bag.
It's in here.
You do wear a cape for your shows, right?
She nods and smiles.
I do.
A bolt of lust slams into me. I can't help myself. I blurt out, I bet you look insanely hot in a cape and nothing else.
Generally, I don't wear my cape with nothing else, she says.
I raise an eyebrow.
Would you for me?
I would, she says, as the yellow cab arrives. I open the door and slide in after her. The door slamming rings in my ears and it hits me. The game's not over until the final at bat.
Can we talk about the elephant in the cab?
Her eyes light up.
Sure.
I point my thumb behind us, in Simon's direction.
English. You've acquired full use of the language around Simon.
She nods happily.
I'm cured, evidently. Your lessons eradicated my little affliction.
Oh, I say, my heart sinking as I strike out on pitch one.
Guess that means she can behave normally around guys she likes.
We got rid of Princess Awkward. I'm gonna miss her, though, I say, trying to keep the mood light.
Yeah, me too, she says, sighing wistfully, then flashing a huge, I've got a secret grin.
But that's not the only reason I'm cured, she says, and wraps her hand on my arm. I hate that sparks fly inside me from that touch. I wish they'd stop.
What's the other reason?
She shrugs happily and squeezes my bicep.
I don't like him anymore. In fact, when he asked me out for coffee last weekend via text, I turned him down.
And we're back in business. Angels sing, the heavens burst open, candy rains down from the sky.
That's so, I ask, the corner of my lips twitching up in a grin.
That is so, she says, all sexy and naughty and inviting.
The reason I was running late, as you probably ascertained, is that I helped clean up so we could talk about my friend Abby, since he needs a new nanny for Hayden. His ex-wife is hardly around at all, and he does most of the parenting. He bought me a coffee to say thanks.
I did ascertain that. I also think it's incredibly hot that you just dropped a crossword puzzle word into casual conversation.
I did it because I knew you'd like it, she says, and runs her fingers up the back of my neck and into my hair.
Those sparks? They don't just fly. They torpedo across my skin. They race through me. They live inside me with this girl. I'm so far gone for her, it's ridiculous. How did I ever think I could just let her walk away? I can't, no matter who her brother is. I'll just have to sort out that little snag another time. I like it. I also really like that you're not into him, I say, as I lean my head back into her hand, turning my face to meet her gaze.
Why does that make you glad?
She inches closer to me as the cab swings around the corner, nearing the train station. Because I'm a greedy bastard and I want you to myself, I say. And it's not a full-on admission of all that I feel, but it's a start. And that's how I'm going to have to take things with her, step by step.
You have me. Don't you know that? I couldn't do the things we've done in bed and feel that way about anyone else. I swear, Nick, I haven't felt a thing for him since well before the night you kissed me. Since well before I sent you the pencils. Since before the laundry detergent, even. And I never ever felt a thing for Jason.
My heart thumps hard against my chest, fighting its way to her. I fucking loved it when you gave me laundry detergent, I tell her, my eyes never leaving hers.
I thought I wasn't your type, that you preferred older women, she says on a whisper.
I shake my head, heat spreading across my skin. My type is you, I say. And her blue irises glow with excitement, maybe even a wild kind of happiness.
You're my predilection, she says,
a little flirty, and fuck, now I'm even more turned on and feeling like I can walk on water. The cab squeals to a stop at the train station, and I thrust some bills through the window. I get out with her.
I need to catch a train or I'll be late, she says, her tone full of longing.
Come over when you're back.
I get back really late tomorrow.
I don't care how late it is, I want to see you.
I want to see you, too.
I tilt my head to the side. Why did you want me to take you to the train station? Her lips quirk up.
Because I fuck seeing you.
I crack up. Harper Holiday, I fuck seeing you, too. I cup her cheeks in my hands and kiss her. This kiss is different. It's as hot as all of them have ever been. But there's something intangible in it, too, a quality that digs down deep into my chest, that burrows into my bones. An inevitability, and unlike last night, it doesn't feel like the end. It feels like a promise of more to come. She breaks the kiss and turns to go, then she swivels around once more and slides her arm around my waist, tipping up her chin to meet my eyes.
There's one thing I want in bed that we haven't done yet.
Name it.
I'm on the pill, she says,
and knocks the wind out of me. I nearly sway on the busy street outside the train station. I'm clean. I've been tested, I add, my throat dry. The possibility of feeling her bare is almost too much. I'm not sure how I can function on any level between now and tomorrow night.
Can we sleep together without a condom when I see you tomorrow?
I nod. I've never done it without one.
I'll be your first?
Her voice rises with excitement. Yes. I'm dying to tell her that she's the first in so many things. First woman I've ever felt this way about. First woman I've ever cared about more than my work. First woman who's inspired a cartoon just for fun. She presses one last kiss to my lips, murmuring,
I can't wait.
She leaves, and I'm pretty sure the next 36 hours will be the longest of my life, because bear. Chapter 32.
I go to the movies with Wyatt that night, checking out a spy flick that numbs my brain with 2 hours of explosions, knife fights, and one badass motorcycle chase down a never-ending set of stairs. He doesn't ask once about Harper or Spencer when we grab beers and burgers after the credits roll. I'm thankful for that, even though I don't know what to do about my buddy. I've got to hope Spencer will understand that the way I feel for his sister isn't cause for eyebrow dyeing or hair shaving, even if I haven't been upfront with him. I push those thoughts away for tonight. Always the chatterbox, Wyatt tells me about his business expansion plans and how he needs to hire a new assistant. It's one of the rare occasions when we don't give each other crap the whole time. I'm grateful, too, that I've survived the first day in the countdown to Bear. When I return home that night, I head straight to my standing desk and draw a puppet with a stopwatch. He stares slack-jawed at the hot mechanic who fixes brake pads in nothing but a cape. I title it, Countdown to Bear. I know. I'm pretty fucking brilliant. But as they say, a dirty mind is a terrible thing to waste. I turn off the screen, and when I slide under the sheets that night, the last thing I do is check my phone. Again, Karma loves me, because there's a photo from her. A close-up shot of her fingers, sliding under the waistband of her cranberry red lace panties. I swear, this woman will be my undoing. She's so goddamn perfect for me. On Sunday morning, I wake to my phone rattling on the nightstand. Must be another message from Harper. I grin in anticipation as I grab the phone. A note from Serena pops up on the screen instead, with a picture of a baby sleeping. 7 pounds of torture, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Meet my baby boy. An even bigger grin spreads on my face over the good news, and because I know Harper will like this picture, I forward her the note. I freeze. I just sent her a photo of a baby to make her happy. What the hell has my world become? Who is this dude inside my skin texting pictures of a newborn to a chick who sent me a dirty photo last night? That's when the Roadrunner drops the anvil and Wile E. Coyote gets smacked with 10 tons of obvious and his head rings and stars spin, but then everything becomes crystal clear. I want Harper to be happy in every way. In bed and out of bed. I don't just want to give this woman 10,000 orgasms. I want to see her smile more times than I can count. Because I've fallen in love with her. I groan and flop back against the mattress. This woman has upended my world. Once I only wanted to send her soaring, to bring her pleasure, to screw her out of my system. Now I want to make her feel joy in every way. I, Nick Hammer, self-avowed serial monogamist and Magellan of the female orgasm, have become a love-struck fool. I wish there was a clue in the Sunday puzzle as to how to give voice to this madness taking over my heart. Knowing how to touch Harper, how to kiss her, and how to deliver ecstasy to every square inch of her body seems easy compared to reckoning with this strange new foreign object occupying space in my chest. What do you even say to a woman you've fallen ass over elbow for? I scratch my head, coming up empty. Sex is my classroom, but love is a language I barely understand. I close my eyes, letting my mind wander to all the things I know about Harper. She loves to entertain, to tell jokes, to spend time with her friends and family, to help people she cares about. She loves autumn and cake and bowling. And beating me in competitions. She likes taking care of Fido and learning new magic tricks, and she loves to give gifts. Most of all, she likes being understood. I flash back to one of the texts she sent me, a non-dirty one. I want to look into someone's eyes and feel like he knows me, gets me, understands me. I want him to see my quirks and accept them, not try to change them. I want to know what that's like. This is a girl who has definite quirks. I latch on to something. Bits and pieces of our conversation back at Piece of Cake. Something she said about cheesy moments. What was it? I rub my thumb and forefinger together as if that can stir the memory to the surface. It works, and I smile inside as I remember her offhand remark. Does she write those cheesy sex scenes where the guy tells the girl he loves her while he's inside her or right after? I might not know what to say, but I definitely know when not to say it. I get out of bed, brush my teeth, pull on my workout shorts and a fleece, and go burn off some of this energy, running all the way downtown to Spencer's house, where I feed Fido, trusting that this cat and his master will have to be okay with this turn of events, because I'm going to be so damn good to Harper. I'm going to treat her like the royalty she is to me. All I have to do is tell her. I don't have a plan, a skywriter, or a bouquet of flowers, and frankly, I don't think she'd be impressed with any of those. That's not the kind of person she is. But I know the most important part of my plan. There's no way I can let these lessons with Harper end. Not until I tell her I want to be so much more than friends with her, more than her teacher, more than her love coach. I want to be hers. Too bad her train is really late that night. She texts me at 10 to tell me it's stuck in Bridgeport for some sort of engine repair. I write back immediately with the only possible solution. I'll come pick you up. Seriously? You have no idea how much I want to see you. As much as I want to see you? Yes, that much. You won't use emoticons, but you'll use shouty caps? Shouty caps are manly. Get over here, woman. I need your naked body under me. What if I want to be on top? I don't care. Just get here. How's this? I'll order a car service. I'll send one to you. Whatever you want. This is where apparating would come in really handy. Now you're really turning me on talking Harry Potter and magic spells. But seriously, Princess, can I send a car for you? They say the train is going to start again in 20 minutes. I'll be there soon. If not, I might chew my leg off with waiting. I like your legs. Please refrain from all chewing of limbs. Ooh, we're moving again. A little later, I check the time. It's 11, and a new text says she should arrive in Grand Central by midnight. I figure 15 minutes in the cab will put her at my door at 12:15. I take a quick shower, brush my teeth, and wrap a towel around my waist. A new text from her lands on my screen. Ugh, still more trouble. Train arriving at 12:45 now. Should I just go home? My reply is instant. No fucking way. I lie down, read a book, and drift off to sleep. The ringing in my apartment is loud. I wake with a jolt, sitting upright in bed. I rub my eyes, orienting myself. I grab my glasses. It's a little after 1. I get out of bed and answer the phone. The doorman tells me I have a guest, and I say to send her up. I pad out of the bedroom, then slide the lock off the chain, crack the door a sliver, and peek down the hall. The gears on the elevator crank, then slow, and the lift opens. She turns and heads to me. Her hair is in a loose ponytail, and she wears jeans and her pink jacket. Her eyes widen as she nears me. They turn planet size when she's inches away, and they drift down my body. I glance down. Oh, seems I'm wearing my birthday suit. I should always show up after midnight if this is my greeting, she says, her eyes roaming my naked body. You play your cards right, and that can be arranged, I say, raising an eyebrow. She doesn't know the half of it, though. She doesn't know how true that statement is. If she wants me, she can have me anytime, all the time. I grab her hand and tug her inside. She drops her bag to the floor as the door clinks shut. I waste no time. I kiss her as if it's been weeks. Her tongue slides between my lips, and her hands travel down my chest, across my abs, down the happy trail, and I'm oh so happy that her journeys have taken her there. She skims her palm over my dick, and my breath hitches. Her touch is spine-tingling. She dips her head to my neck, kissing me. I shudder, then bite my lip, because I can't let on all that I'm feeling for her yet. She kisses up my jawline, then to my ear. I have to run to the little girl's room and pee. Wait for me in bed. I salute her and retreat to the bedroom, following orders. I take off my glasses, set them on the nightstand, and park my hands behind my head. Slivers of moonlight slice through the blinds, and my room is cast in shadow. The water runs in the bathroom sink, then it's silent again. Her heels click on the floor, and 3 seconds later she stands in my doorway, illuminated by the moon. She strikes a pose. If she was surprised by my attire, then color me 10 shades of shocked by hers. Chapter 33. Holy shit, I say slowly. My jaw might be on the hardwoods. Her hair falls loose on her shoulders. She's wearing a black cape, stilettos, and white lace panties with pink polka dots. That's it. No bra. My mouth waters. My dick imitates the floor and is hardwood too. My heart does a wild foxtrot as I sit up in bed and scrub a hand over my jaw. I am so crazy for her, it's ridiculous. I stand up, walk over, and scoop her up. You are my dream girl, I say roughly, and I carry her to the bed and toss her on it. She squeals playfully as she lands. So that's a yes, then? The cape is good? I straddle her. Let me put it this way. The way you look in that cape is scorching enough to launch 1,000 new dirty Tumblr feeds. The hot redhead in the cape. Wait. I shake my head, then bring a finger to her lips. Don't tell a soul. That's going to be the name of my next show. Only, it'll be so hot it has to run in the early hours of the morning, on Cinemax. She fingers the satin of the cape. I guess that means you want me to leave it on, then. For now, I say, rubbing my dick against her panties. In a second, that naughty, playful glint disappears from her eyes. It's replaced by unbridled heat. She shudders and reaches her hands up to me, clasping my face. Kiss me, please. Nothing turns me on more than your kisses, Nick. Kissing you is my favorite foreplay, too. I bend to her and kiss her like crazy. She melts into my arms, just fucking melts like ice cream on a hot summer day, and she tastes even better. She's warm and snug beneath me, and she murmurs in my mouth, sighing against my lips, and her fingertips play with the ends of my hair in a way that makes me groan. She sucks on my tongue, nibbles on my lips, and then brushes that sweet, soft mouth of hers all over mine. I'm awash in a desire so wildly intense that the only way to quench it is to be consumed by it. To let it overwhelm me, like this girl has taken over my mind, my heart, and my body. I want her with every part of me. She grinds her hips up against my hard-on. Yeah, that part too. Especially that part. Another thrust of her hips, and that's all the kissing foreplay I can handle. A profound need crashes into me. The need to touch her everywhere, to kiss every inch of her body, to know her. I move down the bed and dip my thumbs into the sides of her panties. At the same time, she lifts up her hips. My breath catches as she does that. It's such a small move in the scheme of things, but it tells me everything. She wants me to undress her as badly as I want to be the one to take off all her clothes. My mind hooks onto something she said at the Italian restaurant, something she said she liked. Seeing you undress for me. Her voice plays in my head, and I hear those words in a new way, in a way that threads deeper into my heart, that means more than getting naked for someone. That means, this is the person you want to strip bare for. As I tug her panties to her knees, then her ankles, then off, I know with a bone-deep certainty that Harper is it for me. The road starts and ends here, with this magnificent beauty in a cape in my bed after midnight. Kneeling at her feet, I slide off her shoes, circle my hands around her ankles, and gaze up at her face. Her lips are parted, and her blue eyes hold mine hostage. Hi, handsome, she whispers. Hey, beautiful. Our voices sound different. She has to hear it, too. Has to feel it like I do.
I bend to her calf and press a kiss there. When I raise my face, she gasps from that little touch.
Harper, I say, my voice raspy.
Yeah?
Want to know something I've learned about what I like? I ask, repeating the words she said to me that night.
Tell me.
Seeing you undress for me.